When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
This is Goop Yourself, the podcast where we talk about everything goop. I'm Brian Rucker.
I'm Agnes Hewitt.
Agnes, I love
it. Are you impressed that I keep remembering?
It is pretty impressive because it's such a, you know, your name, you say it a lot. So it's a force of habit.
It's the only place that I say it where I'm like this. But I mean, I don't really say my own name ever except for, you know, when I do this.
That's true. You don't actually end up saying your name a lot.
No.
I guess when I'm ordering at restaurants and like, or Starbucks or something, I'll say my name.
I'll say my name then. And then I do say Agnes.
Nice.
Cause it's like, call me Agnes.
Yeah. You're a grown woman.
I'm a woman now.
And, Aggie is like a nickname of like agricultural, football schools or something.
Yeah. And UC Davis, but Texas A&M is the big one. People are constantly asking me if my parents went to Texas A&M, which they absolutely did not. If I'm a Texas A&M fan.
That's funny.
If I'm from Texas. I don't really like that part, you know?
No, I mean, I think if you get to know you, it would be pretty evident that you're not from Texas and your parents didn't go to Texas A&M.
No, and I'm like not a football fan. I'm not any kind of football fan, so.
No, absolutely not.
But anyway, it's fine. I'm thinking of fully going for it and getting a new email address and everything.
You have, you know, a new house, a new neighborhood, and now a new yet old name. I think, yeah, go for it. Yet old name. The email address, it is like, I mean, I guess you could forward your emails from the old address to the new one, but it is sort of like a pain in the ass to change your email address.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of want a new one anyway, because I'm signed up for so many newsletters and shit. It's like my email is like my regular mailbox now, where I'm just like, oh, what the fuck is in here? And it's just all crap.
Yeah. Mine's like that too.
It's not a real functional thing. Like, I have to search for literally everything. I miss so many emails because it's like, there's just so much stuff that I'm getting.
Yeah. If I think I'm supposed to like get an email from someone, I will just sort of like every day just search, because there's so much garbage coming in. I know that I'll miss it if I just like look at my inbox.
Yeah. It happens all the time. All the time.
Yeah. So if any of you guys have tried to email us, we might not respond. So
might not
DM us on Instagram, because that pops up for
that's
sure.
That's pretty cut and dry.
We're glad to be back. We were off last week unexpectedly.
Unexpectedly, and not for any good reason either.
You know, just scheduling bullshit, but
scheduling stuff just happened and it was so annoying. And I was so sad, but I'm so happy to be back and to be recording. I had a lot to talk about last week too. And some of it might make its appearance this week.
Yeah, I actually had more. I feel like most of the stuff that is on my list is actually from last week's newsletters. But there is some good, there was some like good goop content hitting the internet this week.
Was there?
I thought so. Like, well, first of all, Gwyneth, this was last week, she was on Jimmy Kimmel's talk show. And she made Jimmy take the DTF pills live on camera.
Oh no. Did he get a boner?
I think they ended the segment before we could see the results, and probably because it was on network TV, they wouldn't have been able to talk explicitly about it. And also these DTF pills are for women, I think.
Also, they probably don't work.
I'm sure they don't work.
And also if they do, I don't think it's like you take it and you're like immediately DTF. I think it's like, you know, don't you probably have to take it every single day?
Yeah, that's the problem like with these type of herbal remedies is like they say that you have to like take them every day basically for the rest of your life to get any sort of reaction.
I think it kind of reminds me of like in the olden days, like there used to be like these like skeptical, like, I don't know, whatever. I wish I didn't know about this, but I fucking do. Like there was this like magician who wanted to prove that, what's it called? Homeopathic medicine was bullshit. So he like on stage, like took an entire bottle of homeopathic pills and then called the poison control and was like told them what he took, and they were like, oh, it doesn't matter, those are nothing.
Yeah,
to like prove that. I feel like she kind of did that for her own.
Sure. Yeah. And it's like everyone is sort of in on the joke that these aren't real. Jimmy obviously knows it, Gwyneth knows it, and they're, I feel like they're sort of old pals that go back a while, so it's just a nice, and I don't even like Jimmy Kimmel. I guess I like him slightly more than Jimmy Fallon, but
I was thinking it was Jimmy Fallon. You know what? I actually like Jimmy Kimmel a lot. I think he's really funny.
He has a nice energy to him. And I like the rapport between him and Gwyneth seems unforced. So I always like when she's on his show more than Colbert bugs me. Fallon is like obviously like a monster.
When I was talking about him getting a boner, I was thinking it was Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, I don't think Jimmy Fallon could biologically get a boner because of allegedly the amount of alcohol he consumes.
I despise him. Unfortunately, Colbert is just like not doing it.
He's become the thing that he was parodying, which is like, so it's just like pathetic.
It's just like the networks managed to fuck up late night. So I'm sorry, but like, it all goes back to fucking Conan O'Brien. If they had just fucking kicked Jay Leno off and been like, sorry, dude, you signed a contract, go fuck yourself, and like let Conan O'Brien have the Tonight Show, like the late night like scene would still be respectable and like people would still care about it. Mm. But they didn't do that. They completely bungled the whole thing.
Yeah. And I also just think the sort of format and the way just network TV in general, it's, you're going to just have like an older audience basically. And none of them have really found a way to like reinvent the form for, you know, the streaming era or whatever.
Right. Except for like, because I guess it doesn't really work that way, but like the way that it was supposed to work, the way it worked with like David Letterman is like the younger audience is more interested in like the greener, younger, like less, more like maybe absurdist or like less conventional, like late night host that goes after the Tonight Show or like after late night or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they like follow them when they're in the like primetime like spot. Like that's the way it normal, like that's how it should work.
Sure. But I think just time slots themselves are completely beside the point.
Oh yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter anymore. Nobody is watching that shit. Unless you're like, we don't even watch TV like that anymore. And we grew up watching.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I was honestly never like a big late night person. I mean, I loved SNL and stuff when I was a kid, but the talk shows, like a lot of people got into like Letterman or Conan and stuff. And I never really cared that much.
I was obsessed with Letterman. I love David Letterman, and I liked Conan, but I was never like one of those like Conan people.
Yeah.
But I liked him.
Well, anyway, Gwyneth, literally the only time I ever watch any late night interviews is when she's on, except for actually the one I do watch semi-regularly is Watch What Happens Live. But I feel like that's sort of a different thing.
That doesn't count.
Yeah.
Because it's actually good.
Because it's actually good, and they have interesting people on, like Ramona Singer and Luann de Lesseps.
And also because it's like the host is like actually like interesting and provocative and like does unexpected things and like cares about comedy.
Yeah. And he, well, and he also like cares about the people that he has on the show. Like you can tell he's a fan. I mean, that's why I thought back when we were kids, the one talk show I really did watch regularly and enjoyed was the Rosie O'Donnell show, because you could tell how much she enjoyed talking to these people.
Yeah.
And Andy sort of has some of that same energy, except he pushes more buttons, which is fun.
He pushes their buttons, but it's like, either you get it or you don't.
Yeah. And like, I'm not a, you know, I don't like watch it religiously. I basically, you know, will only watch it if there's a certain like, you know, combination of housewives that I think will have an interesting energy, but I do watch it occasionally.
If I'm in a phase where I'm really into housewives and then like something particularly like interesting happened on one of the shows and then like someone notable will be on it, I watch it, but I haven't watched Housewives. I really don't watch Housewives anymore.
I know. It's very sad for you.
It's sad for me.
you're not even going to watch. I haven't started it yet, but there's the Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, which is like a, like an all-stars cast on an island.
Hasn't that been your fantasy for years?
I mean, I think like a lot of people have talked about it as a possibility, but it has actually started, and I think there's been like 4 episodes. I haven't watched it yet. And I was not super excited when I heard about it, because it seemed like sort of created, like not super organic. The premise didn't seem very organic, but I've heard from people that it is actually very entertaining. So I am gonna probably start it this weekend.
Who's on it?
It's a lot of like alpha housewives this season. So it's like Teresa, Kyle, Ramona and Luann, Kenya and Cynthia, and I might be missing maybe Melissa or something. So it's like sort of the I mean, Ramona's insane, but like aside from her, it's more of the like the leaders of the groups.
Luann is insane.
Well, sure. I mean, they're all insane in their own way, but I'm saying this cast is not going to be as chaotic as I think they've already shot a second season with like Taylor Armstrong and Dorinda and Brandy Glanville. And
that sounds really hard to watch.
And the second season takes place at Bluestone Manor at Dorinda's Berkshire's cabin. So
they're like throwing Dorinda a bone.
Yeah. I think she's going to, I mean, that this is her new, yeah, I don't know that she's coming back to Housewives. So I think this is like her new thing.
I still hate Dorinda. Sorry.
I'll hate someone on the show, and then if I don't see them on screen for 5 minutes, I'll start missing them.
Yeah, honestly, that season, sorry, I feel like we're talking about Housewives too much, but I also don't. I feel like that season where it was just really sad, like there were 5 of them, and it was just Dorinda being a total bitch to fucking Tinsley the entire time, like going so far, but also just like, it just felt so small. Like it didn't feel like, I mean, I guess it might've been COVID, but like, I don't know. It didn't like most, usually the housewives, it feels like this like sprawling universe where like they're all over the place. And like, I don't know, this just felt very like these same old women doing the same things over and over again. I don't know. I just couldn't deal with it. And New York was the only one I ever really watched anyway.
Part of it was COVID, I think, and the small cast. And then the last season after the season was even sort of more claustrophobic and non-essential. And now I think they're completely retooling the show and they're going to skip a year is what I've heard. Cause they would normally be starting to film now. And cause they usually do it like over Christmas. And I think they're skipping this year. So hopefully that means, you know, New York will return to its former glory at some point. I do really think they need to cast Kat Marnell, bring back Tinsley, have Leah.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. Like, I don't want them to fire any of the old, like, I want all the old people to still be there. Mm-hmm. But like, I think that they're missing, like, these people are out there. We know who they are. And like, Kat Marnell needs to be on that fucking show.
Yeah. Cast like Anna and Dasha. Like, seriously, like, this is, I want like Upper East Side versus Dime Square, like generational divide of New York society.
I mean, yeah, but like those girls like are like the society, they're not girls anymore. First of all, they're all in their 40s. Yeah. And like, they're like the society women of like, that's it. Like, that's what happened. Like, they grew up and now they're the old hags.
Yeah, exactly.
So they need to be the fucking housewives. And I'm not saying hags in a bad way. I'm their same age.
Oh, sure. No, hags. I think women have reclaimed the word hag for sure.
Have we?
I think so.
I'm the same age as what's her name?
Leah Tinsley.
Yeah.
Leah, yeah.
I'm a couple years younger than Leah.
Yeah, I think Leah's like my age. But it is sort of jarring to see housewives that are like substantially younger than you. Also because they're always like so made up and they're
younger than you.
A couple of the people on Potomac, like Ashley and Candace, for sure are younger than me.
I'm not watching Housewives where they're younger than me.
The
37 is the cutoff. I feel like you have to be 37 to be a housewife.
A couple of the new girls on, or at least one of the new girls on Orange County, Gina, is definitely younger than me.
Orange County is always, remember the first season they had that girl.
Joe De La Rosa. Yeah, yeah. Anyway. Okay, guys. We need to pivot. Mm-hmm. There was a really nice article at the New Yorker by Nomi Fry, the cultural critic, about sex, mm-hmm. love, and Goop.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Were we too mean about it?
Huh?
Were we too mean about it?
No, I stand by all of the things that we said. Like I do too.
I don't know.
But people really are into it in a way that, like, I guess I just am not into this genre of show in general. And so I don't think it was meant for me, but it seems like people that like these sort of self-help or like sex shows did find valuable things in it. So
I found it deeply, deeply disturbing. I really did not enjoy watching that show.
No, I didn't either. I mean, as I said before, thank God for 1.5 Speed on Netflix. But I do highly respect Nomi Fry's taste. She is like a regular on a couple of podcasts I listen to, and she's like a good writer.
I just like didn't, I don't know. I feel like it's just like there's a part of my brain that just like doesn't really connect with that like sexual pathology stuff. It's just like not, I don't understand it.
Yeah. But it's an article that's worth reading. And I think it was a lot of people are finding something to connect with in the fact that there are like, you know, imperfect naked bodies on the show and people are getting vulnerable. And so I understand that, but yeah, not for us.
But they did that on the last one too. They all showed their vaginas. And
I think what she's saying, and I think what the sort of consensus of why this is more successful than the first season is because all of the quote unquote regular people in the first season were employees of Goop.
Yeah.
And so it also created sort of a barrier to entry of like, well, you're like a psychopath anyway if you work for Goop, so why should we care what you think? Whereas I don't think it's that different because these are people who, they don't work for Goop, but they like signed up to be on a Goop show. So is it that different?
I mean, they're definitely, they didn't seem like very Goop people to me.
No, most of them did not. You're right. Yeah.
The only one who seemed like she might read Goop was that one who,
the German woman?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He had some kind of Goop energy, but the rest of them seemed pretty normal. And it was like insanely vulnerable to like see people do this stuff on TV. But that made me really uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to see people doing that on TV.
Yeah, I agree with you that like I understand why people might get something valuable out of seeing people so vulnerable like that. But for me, yeah, the TV is definitely not the place for that. Like, I don't know. But then I, you know, we were talking about Real Housewives, and
I mean, yeah, I don't watch that either. Like, I just anymore. Mm-hmm. But I did for a long time, and we were talking about it for a long time.
Yeah. You're like, I'm going to talk about the show for a half hour, and yet I have not watched an episode in a year.
Well, I haven't watched it in a while. Mm. Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just like on a not off reality TV right now or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. It's like it's a snake pit of insanity. I don't blame
but
you.
But I haven't been into like any shows. Like, I don't know, whatever. We don't need to talk about TV all day.
No.
They've all been shitty. I think this new season of You isn't very good.
What? Oh, we're going to have to argue about that, because I thought this was the best season yet of You.
I'm like, see, to me, I'm just like, I feel tired watching it, where I'm like, I don't want to deal with these people and their fucking kids.
No, I guess I just like, it was like a slightly different dynamic than the first two seasons, and I appreciate it. And I thought that the girl, the main woman on the show, is like super, she's great. So I liked the sort of switch up that they did. But
yeah,
and I'm very excited. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen You, the fourth season, there's a sort of a hint that the next season is going to take place in Paris, and it would be fun to have a You, Emily in Paris crossover episode.
What if they end Emily in Paris by having
Joe kill? I mean, they have to do that.
That would be so great.
If I mean, like, like all these giant corporations have these extended universes, and Netflix is the one that like doesn't have that IP. So like, make it, do it. Have Joe kill Emily, like, and end both shows that way. I mean, that's genius.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's perfect. Netflix.
Yeah, they know. They're gonna do it if they can.
Yeah.
If they can get what's his face, fucking Darren Star on board.
Are you going to watch the new Sex and the City?
Yeah, I will. I mean, I like was definitely like in and out on Sex and the City, and I haven't revisited it since it ended. But like, I know the characters enough to like enjoy whatever the new garbage is.
I just want to see like how they write Samantha off. All of these pictures that keep getting posted on Instagram have been obviously kind of like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Sarah Jessica Parker's outfits are like more and more insane, but that's the fun. That's part of the fun.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know sort of how self-aware the writing is going to be about like how out of touch their version of New York was. And like, is it going to address, I mean, I think it will be to some extent. They're going to have to like comment on the original tone of the show, but maybe not. I don't know.
I don't think they're going to comment on anything. I think they're just going to do the same shit.
But like Cynthia Nixon is, you know, an avowed socialist in real life. Like they know that there's, and I mean, I think Sarah Jessica Parker's a pretty like smart person. I don't know. Maybe I'm giving it too much credit.
I don't know. I feel like it's just going to be like, they're like, how did we get so old? We used to be party girls, but we still can dance. And then they're going to like fucking go on dates and like, have fights with each other.
Yeah, so it'll be like Grace and Frankie, but with Sex and the City.
Yeah,
which is fine.
I'll watch it,
and I'm more excited about Cynthia Nixon's other project on HBO, The Gilded Age. That's like a period drama with her and Christine Baranski.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Yeah, it's like I don't think it's based on an actual like Henry James or Edith Wharton book. Like, I think it's like a,
just like, it's just like inspired.
Yeah. I think it's just like inspired by that type of genre, which I like. So
that's cool.
And it's HBO. So I imagine it's not going to be a straight, like it'll be a little more pizzazz than like your average. Exactly. Yeah. Literally. One more quick little Goop piece of news. If anyone, you know, doesn't know, obviously the Goop cruise came and went these last few weeks, and some poor journalist like wanted to write an article about her experience on the Goop cruise, but then it sort of like backfired because she went on the cruise and literally no one else on the boat even knew that it was a Goop cruise.
Really?
Yeah, because they just were like, oh, it was just a regular celebrity cruise. And they were like, oh, this is a Goop cruise. But like, she was like, oh, I'm going to do all these things and like meet all these like crazy Goop people. And then she went on the cruise and she's like, oh, everyone is just literally in flip flops, like doing regular cruise stuff. And
I would be so pissed if I went on a Goop cruise and that was what I found.
Yeah. And like, so they still had like a psychic or whatever on board, but apparently like she would do like the workouts or like the readings and no one was, and they would just do it in like the weird sort of subterranean lounge areas of the cruise ship. And like, no one else came to any of the seminars.
The only person who went was the journalist.
Well, she said there were like a few other women, like, cause they would advertise it on the cruise while once you were there. So she had like a few other people ended up like going to the psychic reading and the workout cruise, but they had no idea what Goop was. They were just like doing a cruise activity. And like, she's literally spent an entire week on the ship and she didn't meet one other person that was there because of Goop.
I mean, I do feel like that's breaking news.
Yeah. Like how much, I mean, how, I don't even know what the economic, like, did, was Goop like spending money or like, were they trying to make money? I don't understand like what the sort of synergy between Celebrity Cruises and Goop was.
I guess their idea is that like, they were obviously trying to make money, but like.
Like, did they get like a kickback from every time a ticket was sold that was like, oh, we're buying this because of Goop? I don't know.
Or like if you went through their like affiliate link or something?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. It's very confusing. I don't understand the cruise industry, but I never probably will. And I'm really glad that I didn't go on that cruise. Actually, I kind of want to go on it more.
Well,
actually.
Now cruises are, I mean, this one still is like a steal. It was like $900 per person for like an entire week. So I think that's like and like I saw a commercial for a Carnival cruise that was like cruises start at like $200. It's like, I mean, it's truly for like the lowest of the low at this point.
That's me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. In the bottom of the barrel. And like, if I could go on a Goop cruise, I know that nobody else there is gonna know what Goop is, and I'll be the only one at the Goop events, and I'll be like the Goop queen of the cruise. I would totally do that.
I just feel like part of the charm, like part of what you're paying for, is to be in that Goop atmosphere with other insane people. And if you don't get that, then it's like, what's the point? And I mean, the original plans for the like the pre-pandemic Goop cruise that never was to be was like so elaborate. It was like a private ship. It was costing like tens of thousands of dollars. It was like, you know, Gwyneth and Elise, and like everyone was like going to be there. And then now it's literally just like nothing.
It's like someone does yoga with in a basement on a cruise ship where you're surrounded by like people who don't know what Goop is.
I mean, you would feel like you were starting to go crazy if you were on a Goop cruise and no one. And then also like, it was such a half-assed thing because like you didn't even get like Goop meals. Like you were just eating from the buffet like everyone else.
That's a huge problem.
So it's like, what, I mean, the Goop, I guess there were these activities which are Goop affiliated, but like your experience on a cruise has like is in no way connected to like a Goop lifestyle.
That's disappointing.
But then honestly, if I was on a cruise, I would rather like eat from like a chocolate fountain and like have, you know, all you can eat like coconut shrimp than Goop food anyway. So I don't know.
I mean, of course, if given the option, there's no way in hell I would take the Goop food over fucking a fondue fountain. I mean, that's just not gonna happen. I would like to think it would, but I mean, let's get real.
Yeah. Yeah. Cruise is just, it's such a mark of like, it's like allowing yourself to be super decadent. And so I think like the Goop sort of ethos sort of goes against the very concept of cruising.
It does.
So I don't know.
Contradictory terms.
I think it was a strange pairing to begin with. And now
it is a strange pairing. Yeah. It is a strange pairing. But you know, whatever.
If anyone wants to read that article, it is on a website called Insider and it's called Goop Through a Cruise and No Goopies Came.
Sad.
I hope at least Insider paid for this cruise for her so she didn't like shell out her own but she's probably freelancing. She probably fucking paid for it all herself.
No, I'm sure I'm sure she didn't have to pay for it.
I don't know. If you like are a freelancer and you're just pitching an article, like they're not gonna pay for you.
I think they will. I don't think you have to pay for your own cruise.
Unless you were like, I already did this and I want to write about it.
Unless you just went and did it and then sold the article.
Which I get it. But,
I mean, that sounds like a bad idea. It sounds like a bad investment.
Yeah.
Because I know she got paid. I mean, like, I don't know what these things pay, but like, I think they pay like really bad. But
She probably got paid like $75 to write this article. So, I mean, I think what happened probably was she took a vacation on a Goop cruise and then she was like, oh, I should write an article. I don't think it was like an investment in her career.
Who wrote this?
Someone, I mean, this isn't like Condé Nast in the 90s where they were giving it. It's a woman named Julia Naftalin.
Let's see. Well, you know what? I really don't. Yeah. I'm not going to. I don't care. And I don't care if she got paid. I don't care what happens. I might read the article though.
Anything else before we get to the old lists?
Oh, she's a senior reporter at The Insider covering. Oh,
okay. So I guess she's not a freelancer. So maybe they paid for it.
And they definitely paid for it. I am HO.
Well, now I'm just jealous.
Yeah.
I was acting all superior to this poor woman but now she's like, she got a free cruise out of it. So the joke's on me.
Yeah. Okay.
Shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So we're sort of covering a little bit this week, a little bit of last week.
Yeah.
What was your best?
Okay. So my best is like still up in the air. I'm not 100% sure. Probably isn't going to go anywhere. But, and I probably have actually waited too long at this point, but nobody took me up on my offer to buy my shoes. It's fine. Nobody has to. I did email Goop. First of all, I did purchase already another pair of the shoes. Mm-hmm. So now I have two.
So now you're out two pairs of shoes.
Yeah. They offered to take them back. Even though I told them I wore them, I don't have forever to do this. Time is getting short. My fear is they will not take them back, or they'll be like mad at me when I send them back and they see like just how worn these shoes are, because I wore them for one day, but this was a long, long day. This was like a set day. I was on my feet all day. This was like a 12-hour day. So it was like, yeah, I wore them one day, but like, I really was like wearing those shoes that day.
Yeah. Well, you know? I mean, they said you could send them back, so I wouldn't feel bad. Like,
I didn't really, I was like, I wore them once and they really hurt my feet.
Yeah. Then I think that's fine. Like, I'm sure that happens all the time. They're fine. Don't think about
it. Okay. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah. Don't think about the feelings of the Goop people. It's not.
Well, I'm just scared that they're going to be like, this was a disgusting COVID violation. Like, you're disgusting. Fuck you, you scammer. But I already bought the other pair. So I feel like they know I'm not like scamming them.
You literally already bought another pair, so you're fine.
All right, so I'm gonna send them back. I'll tell you guys how it goes. I'm also gonna have to put them in the shoebox of the new pair that I got, because I already threw the old pair.
That's very common with returns. You could probably even just drive to the old Country Mart and give it to them there.
I don't want to make eye contact with anyone who sees the shoe.
Well, so that was your best, potentially returning a shoe.
Good news that like I can return my shoes. And like the Goop returns department, like they really do. I feel like Goop customer service, like they come through, you know?
I think they have good customer service, partially because they care, partially because I don't think it's like a super high volume thing. Like, I don't know that there's like thousands of requests every day. It's not, I don't know.
Who knows?
They have a lot of time on their hands.
I don't know what's going on over there. I don't know how any of it works.
I haven't bought anything recently from them, but I don't think that the supply chain issues have really affected Goop. Like, is it taking?
I don't think the supply chain. I don't think that they're gonna be affected.
I don't think at all, right? This is another media creation.
I have no idea. I don't want to talk about it. Is it real? Is it not? I don't know. I don't know who to believe. I don't know what to believe. Although I did try to order a salad from Mendocino Farms yesterday on DoorDash and they canceled the order. And then I was like, I called and I was like, can you tell me what happened? And they were like, the restaurant was out of everything you wanted.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Huh.
So maybe there is a supply chain issue.
I haven't had one instance where anything my little heart has desired has not been fulfilled.
But you know, you never know. It's like they could have been lying. Like, it could have been whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, it doesn't surprise me. People, I guess. Huh. Interesting. I've never ordered anything from Mendocino Farms.
Well, have you been there? Just never ordered it?
No, I've never even, I mean, I've heard of it. I've just never, like, I don't think there's one around here. And I don't know. I've just never been to one.
Well, if you're ever in an urban environment and you want a nice salad, I recommend.
I have actually, I think someone had ordered it during some sort of work or group setting. And I think I've eaten a Mendocino sandwich at some point.
It's very, it feels very work-like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why I'm like.
More even than like a Sweet Green, I'd say.
Sure.
It's like a corner. It reminds me of like Corner Bistro or whatever that place was called. Corner
Bakery. Yeah, I guess. I mean, all those places are the same. I know like in New York, there's just a million of those sort of office-y places.
It's one of those places, yeah, but it's actually pretty good.
Pretty good. All right. My best, I can actually speak eloquently about this because my best was two vegetarian main dishes that they put in their newsletter last week. It's like holiday vegetarian main dishes. It says vegetarian dishes that can be the main event. And I actually made two of them this past week.
That's huge.
So this is sort of a best and also a thing I did try.
Okay.
So the first one was, well, the first one I made last weekend was a curried sweet potato pot pie.
Okay.
And so it's basically, you're making like a samosa filling with puff pastry on top and baking it like a pot pie. This recipe,
but a sweet potato?
Yeah, you're doing, so it's a samosa, classic samosa, except you're substituting sweet potatoes for regular potatoes, mixing it with cauliflower and peas, a bunch of spices. And so you're like making the filling on the stove and then you're putting the filling in like a pie plate and then you're putting puff pastry on top of the filling and then popping it in the oven.
Interesting. It was good.
It was good. Yeah. So it's sort of like, it's a, both of these recipes, honestly, were like a few too many steps for a quick weekday meal. But I guess they're supposed to be like holiday special occasion meals. So I guess we can't hold that against them.
Yeah.
The filling was tasty. I did have to add, I mean, this is sort of a par for the course in any goop recipe, but I had to add about like twice the fat and twice the amount of spices and four times the salt for it to actually be edible.
Okay.
But once like, cause it's like, you know, a pound of sweet potatoes, like a whole cauliflower, like a ton of peas. And then it's like a quarter teaspoon of, you know, cumin, a quarter teaspoon of garam masala, a half a teaspoon of salt and like one tablespoon of ghee. And then I tasted it and I was like, oh, this literally tastes like nothing.
That has been a problem with them that I guess I never realized because I don't think I ever measured like the seasoning in most of their recipes. I think I just sort of like put it in. If it calls for it, I just like put in however much. Yeah. But I made a recipe with a very similar like flavor profile, like those same spices. It was from the Clean Plate and it was just really simple. It's just like you just dice up chicken, dice up cauliflower, you mix like garam masala and cumin and like whatever, like garlic or something with like oil and like you mix it all together and you just put it on a sheet pan. It's like super simple. But I did measure out and put the amount that they said, which I normally don't do. And I was like, this tastes like shit. Like, I mean, it didn't taste like shit. It was good, but it was like after I took it out, I had to like put like a lot of salt on it. So.
Yeah. It's just ended up being really bland. And maybe that's sort of like the audience they're going for obviously is like a very sort of, I don't know if it's an unadventurous palate. I don't know, but I fixed it. Like if you sort of know how to cook, you can adjust the seasonings to your liking. So it ended up being really tasty.
And all, like we always say about these goop recipes, they all require like some adjustment.
Yeah.
Because like either they'll call for some dumb ingredient that you don't actually need that like is just some sort of like flexing, or they will, not have enough seasoning or whatever the thing is, like you can just adjust it, but it'll still be good. It'll still be the thing that you're making.
Yeah.
Like to your
And I think maybe like my taste buds are so blunt. Like I think the places like New York Times Cooking or Bon Appetit or whatever, like Allison Roman, they're pretty like heavy on the seasonings and like really sort of like, you know, acid forward, briny, spicy things. And so Goop is very much more of like a, you know, like cooking light, Southern Living, Martha Stewart vibe.
Definitely.
Some respects. So I think I just had to, and also the garam masala I had was, I think, a little old. So I think it probably wasn't like as fresh. I probably had to put more because it had started losing its taste. So, you know, but it ended up being really good. It was like a good amount. Like served us for like two full dinners. Nice. And frozen puff pastry, you can just get frozen puff pastry at, you know, Trader Joe's or any grocery store. Yeah. It fucking makes everything so good. You can just put that shit on top of anything.
I love a fucking beef Wellington. Oh my God. Trader Joe's has the best frozen beef Wellington.
Oh, I've never tried it.
We had it last year I think we might have had it on Thanksgiving instead of turkey because it was like quarantine. That shit was so fucking good. We were like losing our minds.
Anything wrapped like beef Wellington or like the like baked brie in a puff pastry, all that stuff is so like, I would just eat everything wrapped in puff pastry.
Wrap it in puff pastry.
And like, this is truly, I mean, it's very, especially if you go by the Goop recipe, it's extremely healthy. Like it's all vegetables, very little fat. And then you just get to have a little treat on top.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was great. Okay. And so the second recipe, which I made two nights ago and serves, I think like 6 to 8, because we have had it for two nights of dinner and we still have leftovers, is the smoky sweet baked pasta with butternut squash and poblano peppers.
Oh boy, that sounds...
So this is a genre of food that I feel like has been underexplored, that I like to cook in these sort of quasi Italian, quasi Mexican combo flavors.
Okay.
But I feel like no one has really like articulated this type of fusion. And I'm happy that Goop is sort of taking the plunge and not apologizing for it.
Yeah.
Because I like, one of my sort of go-to recipes that I just made up is like making pasta and then just putting a bunch of like cilantro and sour cream and salsa on the pasta.
Ooh.
And it's just so good. It's just like pasta that tastes Mexican. It's like, I don't know. Am I going to get canceled for saying that? It's just really good. Yeah, you're canceled.
Remember our fantasy about making savory whipped cream?
Yes. It's like,
you just reminded me of it when you said you put sour cream on pasta.
It's like so good. But yeah, savory whipped cream. This takes that that concept and like makes it into a real recipe. And again, like the pot pie, this is just too many steps for like a normal night.
Yeah, but it is a special holiday.
But it's a special, yeah. That's what I have to remember. And it ends up being good. So, and this one is not like healthy at all. Like this is a real recipe.
Yeah.
So, you first have to cut up a butternut squash, just like lengthwise, put it on a sheet pan with some poblano peppers and like garlic and onions, and then just like roast that whole shit for an hour. Mm. Then you're supposed to like let it cool completely. I was too impatient and I like burned myself and like didn't, because then you're supposed to like peel the peppers and scrape all the meat off of the squash. And like when it's too hot, you just sort of can't do that well. So mine was a little messy. But then you put the squash and the garlic and the onions and some pasta water. Oh, and then you're boiling pasta while you're doing this. And you basically make a sauce with the pureed butternut squash. And then you take the pasta, you put the cut up poblanos in, you put the squash sauce, and then pepper jack and Gouda cheese. Oh, and then you're also in the sauce, you're also adding sage and chipotle. So
this sounds honestly a little all over the place.
It's Italian and Mexican. Like it's sage and chipotle. Okay. Combination that no one really thought about before. Then you're doing pasta, you know, then you're doing your poblano and your butternut squash. So it's very, you can see where the idea came from. Gouda, pepper jack, two culture. I mean, I guess Gouda is not Italian anyway. So you put all of that shit in, whatever, in like a Dutch oven, and then you bake it. And then it's a cheesy butternut squash pasta.
It sounds really good.
It's pretty good. Again, I'd add way more salt than I said to.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was tasty.
It sounds really good. And it sounds really involved.
It is. It's not, it takes a while. You're like, most of the time you're just like letting it sit in the oven. So it's not super high intensity as far as prep goes, but like it does, like I started it around 4 o'clock and we didn't eat dinner till like 7. So.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not bad, but it's not ideal on like a Wednesday night.
Sure. Sure.
So yeah, that was my best. Two good recipes. There's a third one in this article that I haven't tried yet. That's like, it's like spicy rice and lentils with greens and garlicky yogurt, which looks really good too. So I want to try that one as well. All right. What was your worst?
You know, I really didn't have a worst. I mean, I just didn't. Like, I sort of was thinking about how it's weird that there are like all of these. Like, do you ever notice how there are these like serums and like all this shit on Goop that you like don't, you never heard about before? It's not like a worst, because I was like pretty cool with this newsletter, but like I was just like perusing the fucking store as I do. And then there's this thing called like a Flor Vibrante serum. And it's just like, I don't know what it is. It's not like I don't have a problem with this serum. I feel like there's so much on Goop that I just don't know what it even is. And I feel like they do so much with trying to like educate the public about their wares, but it's really like so limited to just these like handful of things that we hear about constantly, mostly from their own line, but like also from like a handful of other lines that they like promote a lot. And then they have all this other shit that just seems like it's sitting there. I just find it confusing.
It is weird when you're seeing, yeah, like a million articles a year, like, how many times can they fucking talk about, you know, Barbara Sturm or Vintner's Daughter or, you know, Goop Glow, when then you'll, yeah, go to their website and there's like this random thing. Like,
and it's like, is it even good, or why do they never talk about it? I don't know. It's just, I'm like, I find it, I just think it's weird.
Yeah. No, I agree. I would like to learn about these other, especially, I mean, just for variety, if nothing else. And yeah, then it's like, are you standing behind these products if you're never talking about them?
It's just weird. Cause it's like, you know, how am I going to know about this stuff?
I think that they, I mean, I really do think like, I don't think that there's like pay to play or whatever, but like they are obviously like friendly with a lot of the people that run these companies. So I think if you're not in, you know, if you're not in the cool crowd, you're not going to get the coverage.
Right. That it must be something like that.
But yeah, then why are they stocking? I mean, I think as, you know, Goop itself manufactures more and more products, there's going to be like less and less sort of outside things. So at one point, maybe, you know, we're only going to be able to buy Goop stuff.
I wouldn't mind.
I mean, yeah, like, cause you can get,
that's all I buy from them anyway, pretty much.
Yeah. Cause you can get everything else like faster or cheaper other places. So
most of it.
And pretty soon you're going to be able to buy Goop products everywhere too.
I mean, you already can't. And people constantly are sending us like when they find it at like TJ Maxx or Marshall's or something.
Oh, yeah. We just got one.
Like it's, and it happens all the time. Like not all the time. It's like a very exciting thing. And please tell us every time you find it, but like it happens, you know, it's out there. Yeah. So it's not just, it's out there.
I think that specifically was like a discontinued level of glycolic acid, yeah, that they don't sell anymore.
Wait, it's a discontinued level of,
yeah, because they mean? When they started doing the glycolic pads, they would do like a 15% and a 5%, but no one was buying the 5%. So those,
yeah, I think, would want 5%.
Yeah, that was the one that they were selling at TJ Maxx.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what the whole.
I would still buy it if I found it at TJ Maxx, sure. No matter what it was. But you can get Goop stuff like on Sephora too.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway.
I have a worst.
Okay.
It is a jacket sold on Goop designed by Sia.
Okay.
It is one of the ugliest things I've ever seen in my life.
Wait, I probably will like it.
So think of Sia.
Yeah.
Of what she looks like and dresses like, and then think of a jacket.
I mean, she looks like a big blonde bob.
Yeah. So, okay. And I think I have a poor opinion of Sia in general as a person and as a pop star.
Why?
After, especially, I didn't watch that movie, but like she directed that movie about,
she made that stupid movie.
The like autistic girl and like like fetishized sort of autism. And it had a lot of, I was listening to people talk about it, had a lot of like racial issues that were problematic. She basically like bullied her protege Maddie Ziegler into like doing the movie after she didn't want to do it. There have been accusations, and I'm saying this is alleged accusations of Sia possibly grooming Maddie and sexually abusing her.
Wait, from Maddie?
She has never said anything, but there's questions about their relationship. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Well,
and now I believe that they no longer have any sort of personal or professional relationship after the disaster of this movie. So all this said, this is the background that I'm coming into seeing.
But Sia. But you knew about Sia before the movie. See, to me, the movie is like kind of a minor thing. Like the movie is kind of a joke. And I was like, oh, that seems like not a good movie. But like Sia is like a musical artist. And I also feel like it's possible that like, you know, she's better at one thing than something else.
Oh, sure. And she's written some like good pop songs. I mean, she has a good voice, like blah, blah, blah. I just think as a person, I think there's some, I don't know. She strikes me as a very troubled person. I'll say that.
Okay.
But after the disaster of this movie called Music.
Also, I feel like, I'm sorry. I just have to say, I feel like the movie, I feel like it wasn't like the cultural disaster to every, like to me, it was like a minor like eye roll situation. It wasn't like a career defining disaster. It was just like, oh, Sia made this dumb movie. And like, and then it like, I don't know if it even came out.
Yeah, it came. And that's, like, it came out. It got Golden Globe nominations. Kate Hudson shaved her head and got a Golden Globe nomination playing like a drug addict who falls in love with an African man dying of AIDS.
It's just not my like, it's just like not what I think about when I think about Sia.
No, I get even that.
It was like not, I mean, I didn't see it or like want to see it, but I was just like, I thought it was like kind of funny and then I forgot about it.
I do want to watch it. Maybe we should do that for a bonus episode sometime.
That would be fun.
But anyway, so again, no one can make money making music in this stage of late capitalism. So all of these people are doing all this shit. So her next, I guess, career move is to design this jacket and send it to Gwyneth Paltrow for her to put it on Goop.
Can you send me the jacket?
Oh yeah.
So I mean, you don't have to if you're in the middle of it. I just want to see it now.
So here, I'll send it to you. She in this jacket, I mean, despite my reservations about Sia as a person, this jacket is just really ugly. It's like this, it's sort of like halfway between a jacket and it's like a puffer jacket and a scarf together that doesn't close, and it's $2,000. Did you get the link?
Yeah, I got it. It's like expanding what you thought a jacket could do, but I actually kind of like the jacket. I mean, I see the scarf thing, I'm like, I don't know if I need all that, and I don't have $2,000.
So it's,
but
it says it's basically a big wearable blanket with sleeves, a built-in scarf, and a secret arm pocket that's sized just right for keys, cards, and cash. It's cozy. It's chic. It goes over pretty much everything in your closet. I mean, it's like, what are those Snuggies? It's like a $2,000 Snuggie that you wear out of the house. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not exactly a Snuggie, but it has I can see the comparison. Like, it opens and it like goes, it's not like a blanket you just like put over your head. But it does look like, it does have like, it does kind of look like a quilt or something, or like a comforter a little bit.
And I guess it just doesn't seem very goopy or stylish. Like, it's expensive, so in that respect it fits in perfectly with what Goop sells, but it's like, it just seems like, I don't know. I don't see Sia as like, should be like in the same league as Gwyneth, I guess. And it's like, if you're a celebrity,
well, you're really upset about the movie.
I really just don't like her. And I really think she's like a disturbed possibly satanic person. And so allegedly,
wait, I don't understand why you hate Sia.
I don't want to even go into details. Just Google Sia Maddie Ziegler relationship, and I don't want to get sued here.
Okay. I trust you.
But I just have I think I do have a good judge of character about people, and I just get an extremely dark energy from this woman.
Do you really? Okay, no, that's good. You like me, right?
No, I hate you, Aggie. I've been doing this fucking podcast with you for 6 years.
You have a good sense of character.
No, like I think sometimes I can just tell if people are evil or not. And
okay, no, you're probably right. She probably is evil. I mean, who isn't?
Yeah, that's true. But I'm like, what? $2,000? Just give me a break. And it's so, I just hate it. Sorry.
Yeah, okay, you're right.
So maybe it's a combination of my distaste for the person and my distaste for the clothes. And I'm like, Sia, get out of Goop. You're not Goopy. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. Like, I just have to say, like, for me, like, Sia is, like, extremely Goopy. To me, Sia is a Goop person. But I haven't done the research. Yeah. Like, I don't know about the Maddie thing. I don't really know that much about any of it. I've always kind of liked her music.
No, she's written some good songs. I mean, you know, Chandelier's a good song. She wrote Umbrella for Rihanna. That was a good song. Titanium, the one from 6 Feet Under is good. Yeah, whatever.
Hey.
Her Christmas album is, I mean, talk about satanic. It is the most insufferable, horrific Christmas album I've ever listened to in my life.
I mean, I hate all Christmas songs, but I know that one. That one is like... It has that one is just like dogs barking.
Yeah, it's just like clanging bells, and like it's just like you're trapped in a crowded mall. And like yeah. People are like stomping over you for Black Friday deals, and you're
yeah, it does. It feels a little like
it's so chaotic.
It's chaotic.
I think maybe that is my issue with her, is she just, and I think I have a low tolerance for people that I find chaotic.
But I don't, again, all right, I don't want to make this about me.
You're not chaotic. I don't.
Really?
I don't think so. I mean, I could see how you would think that about yourself sometimes, but I don't find you chaotic.
Okay, thanks. That means so much coming from
me. But I do have a low tolerance for certain people that I just, I think because I am such a Capricorn, and I do like structure. And so like, there's something about someone like Sia, just like, I don't like it. I don't know how to explain it.
No, I can understand. And like,
I wouldn't feel safe with her. It.
No, you're right. I'm not going to put in the energy to defend Sia. Okay. Cause I don't know enough about the situation. And I just like Chandelier. Yeah. That's the only song.
Like, let's just say, I feel like Sia has probably like hung out with Epstein and Ghislaine at some point.
Okay. Well, okay.
Allegedly.
Well, okay. Fuck her. That would be bad.
All right. What was your craziest or your saddest?
Okay. So my saddest is like also like this like kind of goes into like the thing of like me feeling like a chaos person, or like me being the Sia and you being the you or whatever, like me projecting, is like these fucking behavior notes. They're in the... one of the Goop guys, I think it's the hostess one. It's like for the Christmas thing, for the Christmas gift guides or whatever. Mm. And it's like, they're just these notes that are like, I apologize for my behavior. Or they're like, oh, fuck, I fucked up. I'm so sorry. It's just like apology notes. Oh. And like, I don't know who is my, I assume it's for people who have like substance abuse problems. Oh. Like, I don't know. Or, I mean, it's either that or it's a joke, or it's people who have like personality disorders. It's like, who, everybody needs to apologize sometimes for doing something wrong. And you should be able to apologize when you do that. But if you're, if you like were hanging out with someone and they did something that was like really like unacceptable, and the night ended badly because of it, and they sent you a note on a card that was like, oh, I fucked up, or like, please forgive my behavior, that had they like already had purchased. Like, first of all, that would like negate the apology for me, because I would be like, okay, well, they don't change. This is like the definition of being unable to change.
Yeah.
Because like, you are so committed to having bad behavior that you've like made a purchase to assume you're going to fuck up in the same way at least however many times, like 10 times or however many come in the pack. So it's like, And all I am to you, all my apology is like you pulling a note out of your notepad that you bought for just such occasions and like writing my name on it, like a thank you card or something. Like, I don't want to see that.
It seems like the sort of fake apology of like, well, I'm going to go through the motions of apologizing, but it relinquishes any sort of responsibility that you have for actually changing your behavior. Yeah. And like you said, the idea that you would pre-buy this multi-pack of apology notes means like something is deeply wrong with you if you have to do this regularly.
And it's just so sad. It's like, I just imagine like myself when I fuck up and I'm like constantly trying to think of like something like charming or nice I could do to like make someone like me again. Even if I didn't even do anything that bad, it's like this like sad, like people pleasing behavior that would like encourage. It's just the whole thing just feels extremely toxic. Like, I don't like these cards. And as soon as I saw them, I just got like that feeling in the pit of your stomach where I was like, this shouldn't exist. That's it. Those cards to me are satanic.
I do. What you said at the beginning that it could be related to like recovery or like making amends seems like maybe a good, because then it's like if you are having to sort of mass apologize to a bunch of people, it seems like maybe a good solution. But
oh, see, to me it doesn't look like that's what you send out when you're making amends. To me it's like when you're in active addiction. Okay. And you're constantly having to apologize. I mean, that there's a difference between like that and like actually making amends. So like that's where you're like, oh, I like threw up on your leather sofa or like whatever, and you have to like try to, you're like, and you have like a shame over or whatever. And you're like, okay, I have to like fucking make this seem okay. So you break out your little, oopsies, I fucked up, or like, please forgive my behavior cards, and like send them out in the hope that you seem like some sort of like, you know, like devil may care kind of like wild thing that will like still be, that still like has some concern for other people. But like, that's not like amends.
No. Yeah. It's sort of like, desperately trying to hold on to your friendships or whatever after you're being so toxic.
Yes. That's what I see.
I get that. Yeah. That whole situation just seems very sad.
But of course I totally project. Maybe people are just sending them, I don't know, when they are flake. It just seems like whatever your problem is, if you're sending those out, if you see those cards and you're like, that'll be perfect for me, like you have something that's unaddressed that you need to deal with that's like beyond these cards.
Absolutely. Like, you see the cards, you're like, oh, thank God, this will just like fix everything. Like, whew.
Like, finally my cards are like the thing that I do all the time.
Oh, this is so me. Like, when I thought of these cards, or it's just like, yeah, this is like the thing that I need in my life.
It's so sad. Or the other thing is that it could be like a really passive aggressive gift, like to somebody that you think is an asshole.
Yeah. Like, if you're like giving someone else the cards. Yeah. That, I mean, that's not passive aggressive. That is like,
because it's on the gift guide.
That's really funny that it's on the gift guide. I mean, that's so like, if you're like, oh, you know what? I thought of you with these apology cards.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, it's not to bring it back to housewives, but it seems like something that a housewife would give another housewife, and that like a whole season would be built around this drama from
this gift. And they'd be like, I gave it to you because you need to learn to apologize, and I thought this would help or something. Yeah. And then they're like, and then the whole thing is like, and then apology would become the word that they say over and over again until it loses all meaning. Yeah. And they're just like, the apology wasn't good. Do you know how to apologize? Ugh. I know how to apologize. Like, there would be something about knowing how to do it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, do you guys agree, disagree? Do you think that there's someone in your life that should have these apology notes?
Yeah. What do you think about them, people?
Okay. Oh, quickly. This is not very interesting. Saddest, an article, loungewear for all days that end in Y. It's like, we're past this. This is not 2020. This is not deep quarantine. I mean, I'm no, you know, fashion plate, but like, I don't want a whole article now about how chic these sweatpants are and how you never want to get out of bed. Cause it's like, life is depressing enough without me having to read about this on Goop.
Life is really depressing these days, right?
Yeah. The whole thing is falling apart. And by that, I mean planet Earth. and everyone
it's
on it.
It's all going to shit. I mean, sorry to be a bitch, but it is.
Yeah, it's like unraveling. We have to, I think, just try to live our lives as best as possible and treasure our family and our friendships and our relationships and try to get pleasure in any way that we can. Because
yeah, dedicate your life to pleasure. Seriously.
I mean, yeah, maybe I'm becoming like a Philistine, but I'm like, oh, if I'm enjoying something, if I'm actually getting joy from it, I'm gonna do that. And anything
that's it,
and anything that's not like giving me joy, I'm like gonna try to sort of cut that out of my life.
Yeah, as soon as possible. Totally agree.
So maybe, you know, these $1,000 sweatpants are giving you joy, but it's like, get out of bed, get dressed. That, you know what's gonna make you happier? Putting on a pair of pants.
I did buy some Skims.
What are Skims?
Skims, that is Kim Kardashian's line of
loungewear.
I mean, I think it first became sort of famous because she did like waist trainers and like corsets and stuff, but she also has like loungewear, and that's what I bought.
Got it.
Not loungewear, like I guess like athleisure.
Everything's athleisure. I guess you can move in anything, or you can exercise in anything.
I guess I wanted to have, and I don't know how well I'm going to be able to maintain this, but so here's my philosophy. Here's my dream. I want to have a set of clothes that are like casual clothes for like walking my dog, getting a cup of coffee, like just like kind of busting out my day, that are not, like fully like jeans, which are like my fancy clothes, but aren't clothes that I would actually work out in.
Yeah.
I want to keep them separate.
Yes.
So this is my attempt to do that. So I just bought two outfits, and I was like, because I'm having, you know, I'm moving to a new neighborhood, I'm having all these plans about like what my weekends are going to look like here. And I'm like, I feel like athleisure is going to come into play in these.
Oh, in Sherman Oaks. Yeah, absolutely.
So I just bought two little things. I bought two little outfits.
No, that's cute. I mean, as long as they're outfits that you like, it's just like the sort of...
And they're not sweatpants. It's not sweatpants. It's like bike shorts.
And it's not... I mean, I wear sweatpants a lot. It's not even like the sweatpants themselves. It's sort of the fetishization of like, oh, I like to be so cozy and like, oh, like I don't want to wear hard pants and like this sort of disgusting.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's like we're all depressed. We get it. You don't have to like make it cute. Like we can just live in the trauma of what we're like living through, and we don't have to like gussy it up.
We don't need to pretend that we are enjoying it.
No.
Cause it's like the sweatpants are not making anybody happy.
No.
They're actually making everybody more sad, I think.
So yeah,
everything is so fucked up.
Buy a $10 pair of sweatpants from Costco, but have a t-shirt with like mustard stains on it. Like just go all out if you're depressed. Like just live in that depression.
Be depressed. Actually be the depressed person.
Like how radical is that to actually be depressed and to like actually make people uncomfortable with how sad you are? That is truly
radical.
If
you like were depressed but weren't acting like it was like cute or like something you were happy, you were proud of? Yeah. Like what if you were didn't want to be depressed? Like what if you tried to not be depressed? Like what about that idea?
Yeah. I mean, then, you know, you go to the doctor, get some SSRIs.
I mean,
and exercise, and I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. Try to sleep, you know,
water.
Eat, yeah, drink water.
Eat well.
You know, have mind-blowing sex with your partner, like on Goop Sex and Love.
Yeah, sex do the thing where you like do the energetic sex thing.
Exactly.
Do whatever you want. Who cares? It's your life. You only have one of them. Make sure it's just enjoy yourself.
Yeah, that's all we can hope for.
Yeah, but then you like have to like earn money and stuff. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Who
what would you try?
Try. What else? What's next?
Try. What would you try?
Oh, sorry. I thought that you were like making a point. I was like,
no, I was trying to do a segue.
I'm too stupid. Okay. I want to try like any of the products they have that like scrape your face. Like they have a few, they're like made of jade. They usually come with like a face roller, but I think there's more than one on here, and they like, you like scrape your whole face off with it. And that's what I want to try. I think I'll buy one and try one.
try to scrape your whole face. So you'll be like,
you know what I'm talking about?
I've seen what the things that you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to scrape my face off.
You'd be like, Madonna and Dick Tracy as like, what's that character? She's like blank no face or whatever. Face. No face. Yeah.
Or something. Yeah. No, that was like my favorite, you know, I was obsessed with that movie and I was obsessed with Madonna in it.
Oh, she, yeah. It's great. I mean, it's one of her only like great film performances, I think.
And I was Breathless Mahoney for,
Halloween. Oh, cute. Yeah. But the twist when she's like no face, like as like a kid who's never seen like a, you know, an actual like noir movie or whatever, you're just like, oh my god,
I couldn't believe. Yeah. And she like, yeah, oh my god, I fucking loved it. I like hated her and loved her at the same time. I like wanted to be her, but I also hated her.
Yeah, she's true femme fatale.
She also like in that movie, she's got like a curly, sorry to take away, but she has like this like short curly hair. And I was like, oh, I have to get like short curly hair. And my mom was like, you have blonde hair, like we'll just put it up. And I was like, no, but it doesn't look like that. And I was like, I insist on getting like a yellow clown wig that I thought looked like her hair. So I was like wearing the yellow clown wig, like a black sequin dress. But then by the end of the night, I was like, you know what? And I just took it off and it looked a lot better.
Oh, it's so depressing when you're a kid and you see like a celebrity and you're like, I want to look like that. And you have, mm-hmm. you don't just have any of the tools to like actually do it.
And like, you don't even really understand. Like, I don't think I realized like, oh, that's like for a clown. And my mom was like, it's for a clown. And I was like, it will makes it works. That's what her hair looks like. Like it was my thing.
I know. Oh my God.
I know.
It's so sad. Like I just desperately wanted like the like froofy 90s, like middle part, like sexy teen boy hair. Oh, and it just like you know, Jonathan Brandis or
a mushroom
Devin head. Sawa, yeah, all the, but like my hair's so thick and just like it just looks horrible. And I was like, you know, not, you know, I have like a round face, like it just was so bad. And I had like braces. Oh god, so
we struggle.
Yeah.
We
struggle. Yeah. Try. Okay, this is another recipe. This is funny to me because they're you know, they're selling this like the Goop cookware with like the different pots and stuff.
Yeah.
And so they have both Caitlin and Megan talking about like what their favorite Goop pan is and like what the recipes they want to cook with. And poor Caitlin, this is her job, and yet like Megan's version and like all of Megan's recipes and everything was just like so much better than Caitlin's. So Megan, she has a few, she's like a mac and goat cheese that looks really good, some mm-hmm. porridge, but the thing that I would want to try, oh, also by the way, I don't know that I've like explained this publicly, I am currently just completely obsessed with eating soup this winter.
Yeah, I am too. I'm really into soup. And also I have to make a confession, when I said I had a salad from Mendocino Farms, it was actually a soup. Brian got a salad. But anyway, now I feel a lot better that I got
yeah.
that.
Yeah, soup is not sad. And soup, you should, yeah, feel proud of your soup. Like there's a newish Vietnamese like pho place in my neighborhood that I'm like obsessed with getting the chicken pho. And I actually made Allison Roman's matzo ball soup a couple weeks ago.
That was good.
Which is really good, yeah. But anyway, this soup is like, it's red lentil and caramelized onion soup. So it's sort of like obviously a combination of French onion and lentil. Mm. And it seems like pretty, you know, easy as far as Goop things go. So you're using red lentils, you know, you're caramelizing onions, and then you're doing a little turmeric, cinnamon, coriander, cardamom. So there's like a little curry flavor going on. And that's it. And I was just like, oh, this is another great winter soup for my rotation.
It sounds really good.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make it. Yeah, I'm like, soup, it's time for soup, everybody. It's,
I mean, and we get so, our winters are like pretty short. I mean, matzo ball soup obviously, but like pho, and I'm not, you know, I'm not eating hardly any red meat at all, so I'm doing the chicken pho, like pho ga, I'm pronouncing that horribly, from Vietnamese. Oh god, it's so good. It's so good. I never really understood how good pho is before this new place opened.
I love pho. This might be horribly offensive.
Say it, like, Agnes.
I feel like I like pho more than ramen. I know that they're not from the same.
They're completely different, but like I agree. Like ramen is, I mean, I love ramen, but it's so intense. It's so heavy. There's so much fat in it. You're not feeling refreshed.
Yes. It's like the broth is so delicate. I do usually get like beef and I like love it so much. And I love like putting all that shit in there, like the lime and all the stuff.
Cilantro, the bean sprouts.
It's like, yeah.
I'm going to go full cow and get the beef next time just to.
Honestly, I love it so much. And that's the kind I always get. But that's me.
They have a vegan one too that sort of looks good, but you can actually switch out the broth. So I was like, oh, I want the vegetable one, but I want it with the chicken broth. I haven't tried that yet, but I could do it.
That sounds really good. Yeah. I love like Vietnamese food in general. It's delicious.
Me too. I'm actually going to drive to Alhambra tomorrow and get a banh mi in the morning because I've been craving it.
Why is Vietnamese food so
good? It's so good. I'm like, I've always been like a Thai. Like again, this is like condensing so many different like Asian cultures into one, which is like so offensive. I'm sorry. But like as a white American who like gets takeout, I always like,
is that how you're identified? White American.
I always am like, you know, drawn. Thai food is like my typical because I'm like, oh, it's spicy, it's sour, it's like it's a lot if I'm in that mood. And Vietnamese to me historically has always felt a little more muted in flavor, and so I haven't been drawn to it as much. But now I don't know if this is a new phase of my life, but I'm like, Vietnam is where it's at. Like that's all I want to eat.
I'm all about it. Yeah.
All right, enough white supremacist ranting from us.
Oh my God, okay.
What would you buy?
Okay, so I don't know yet, but so when I first compiled my list, I had like 5 things in my Goop cart. I emptied it out. There's the sale right now. It's a 40% off sale. I don't feel like that much stuff is really on sale. I've really been deep into this thing. I guess like clothes and stuff are on sale, which, you know, of course I like them, but I'm usually on the hunt for like beauty products from Goop. I think that the peels were on sale and like maybe a couple of other things. I might wait for more stuff to go on sale to take advantage of this.
Yeah, I think after Christmas,
it'll be
better. Good. Yeah. Cause I looked briefly and it was pretty much all clothes. And I was like, oh wait, want to wait till the fucking beauty products are on sale.
Yeah. I mean, there are a few, but it's just not everything. Also, you know, you can always like buy stuff and buy other stuff later, you know, you don't have to do it all at once. Although I, for some reason, feel like I have to.
Well, it's that shipping minimum that gets you that I'm like, I need
that shipping minimum.
But now that Goop has that wish list function, it's really great. Except now, of course, whenever you leave the site, I always get an email from Goop. Like, did you forget something?
I know. It's really annoying. Even if I don't put it in my cart, I just have to look at it.
And I'm like, don't you know who I am? I fucking have to like research your stupid website every week. I'm not like in a
box. Yeah. Don't you know who I am? You bitches. No, they don't have any idea, which is probably for the best.
Cause they're probably do see like that, like, the analytics of like how often we are on fucking Goop site, and they're like, they hardly ever buy anything. Like, what are these psychos doing?
I'm sure we're on the Goop site more than anybody else in the world.
I bet. Yeah, I'm sure we are, honestly.
Probably.
They're like, these should be our like 2 biggest customers of all time.
I know. It's like they're like are on it all the time. They buy like 1 thing a year. That's not true. I buy way more than that. But anyway.
Buy, what would I buy? Well, this is an oldie but a goodie. Good old Jean, executive beauty director, Jean Godfrey June. We know she should be on. Well, she doesn't live in New York, but I was like, she should be on Housewives. She's recommending this bot. Okay, I have always been a bar soap person.
Interesting.
And I have a couple body washes, but they're really cheap and disgusting, and I don't really like to use them. Mm-hmm. Except I just now I don't know, maybe it's just like I'm so lazy, like having a poof in the shower and just like slathering it with a really like soapy sudsy body wash is so nice. And so I want a good one, and Jean has advertised this thing called the Garden of Earthly Delights.
Oh, I think I've heard about that. I know this.
Probably, yeah. It's a company called Sangre de Fruta. I don't know if that's Spanish or French or whatever.
Yeah.
But So you get it in a bottle and then it's environmentally friendly. So like the refills come in like a plastic, like like a pouch.
Yeah.
And it's very chic. It's it's $82 the refill. No, that can't be right. Is it $82?
Yeah, yes. I think it is.
It's a big lot. It's a lot.
It's the black. It's black.
Yeah, it's an entire liter. Yeah. Okay, so it's $82. Yeah. So that'll last you for a year, hopefully. Okay. I guess. I don't know. It's so expensive, but I'm like.
But it's a liter.
It's a liter, and it's like something you use every day, and maybe it's worth it, right?
Maybe.
I mean, okay, here's, it's cedar, sandalwood, and bergamot. It just seems like it, and I just, to smell like Jean is just something that, yeah, we can all aspire to do. And it, I don't know, the whole thing just seems chic. And I have been, you know, going between my fucking Dove bar soap and like horrible, like Bath and Body Works, like $3 body wash that I get for free when I buy a can. It's like, it's so depressing. I'm like, I need something different in my life.
Yeah, I get it. I do get it.
So I might bite the bullet and get this for myself. Or you know what? I have a Christmas and I have a birthday coming up. So hint, hint, everyone.
Okay.
Mostly just if John is listening to this. yeah. So that's what I would buy.
I think that's a good one.
It seemed, yeah, it's like it hasn't been over. I mean, I don't know if it's new on Goop or we just haven't talked about it that much. It seems like, and if Jean's like singling it out, I tend to pay attention.
I mean, she's doing it for a reason.
Yeah. Okie doke, guys. Okay. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show.
Me too.
Next week, you might not get an episode next week, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because it's Thanksgiving.
It might not happen. So we might see, let's just say we won't do it, and that'll just cut the tension and like no one will have to worry about it.
And then the week after we will do a regular and a bonus for sure. Maybe we'll watch that Sia movie.
Let's watch it. I mean, I'm scared. I don't want to watch
it. I sort of do because I've been talking so much shit about it. But now, I sort of want to watch it.
Well, it's only fair. Yeah. All right, cool. Okay, so you guys have a good Thanksgiving or whatever you do.
Whatever you celebrate. If you're not in America, God,
if you're not in America, you're so then lucky. Sorry for centering ourselves. Mm. Okay, but seriously, thank you so much for listening and we love you and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right, bye.
Bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.